A spike of inflation hits the Affordable Care Act. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We see that gasoline is cheap and prices for some food has been dropping. But when it comes to health care, there's new data that premiums for Obamacare are set to go up dramatically for many, a 25% average increase for next year for plans with mid-level benefits. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein is on the beat. Dan?
Like lots of healthcare stories, David, there's plenty to untangle. First, insurers like United and Aetna have lost lots of money selling plans on the exchanges. In Aetna's case, it was more than $400 million. Now, part of the reason that they're losing money is because not enough healthy people have enrolled. So insurers are spending more money covering their customers than they are bringing in. That said, some insurers, companies that have experience providing care to lower income and sick people, are doing better. Let's not forget, this is an entirely new market for insurers, and executives are clearly still finding their sea legs. Another important but often overlooked factor is that some subsidies for insurers have come in lower than expected, and others are being phased out.
Just looking, open enrollment begins next week, November 1st. What kind of shopping options are people going to have?
Well, the Obama administration is quick to point out that 75% of consumers can get coverage for less than $100 a month, thanks to the federal subsidies that people get. But that stat has a serious asterisk. To get that kind of deal, you're going to have to switch plans, maybe change your doctor and hospital, and you still face thousands in deductibles. Then there are an estimated 5 to 7 million people who aren't even eligible for these subsidies. By the way, the tax penalty for not having insurance could be $700 per person or more. That's just a couple months of premium for some people, which helps explain, David, why there's still millions of people who are choosing to remain uninsured.
All right. Marketplace with Dan Gorenstein. Thank you. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.4%. S&P futures are up about 0.2%. The 10-year bond yield now is up at 1.78%. Trucks in America had to start using low sulfur fuel some years back. Sulfur is bad for health and fouls up other pollution controls. This week, the International Maritime Organization could decide to make ships at sea also convert, as Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
The new requirement will cut the amount of sulfur allowed in shipping fuel by about 85%.
The net impact would likely be higher daily operating costs for the shipping industry, which is not the most welcome news in this current climate for the industry.
That's Amit Mehrotra, lead shipping analyst at Deutsche Bank. He says a ship's daily operating cost could rise by $15,000 to $30,000 a day. The shipping business is suffering from overcapacity, so some companies want to push the rules back from 2020 to 2025. More time for refiners to produce enough fuel, more time for shippers to modify their fleets. Bud Dars with the Cruise Lines International Association, he says the rules allow for another solution, installing scrubbers to filter ships' emissions.
That's an alternative method to get an equal or better environmental result, and our industry has invested hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in that technology.
Either way, increased costs for shippers could mean higher prices on goods. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Now to one demographic in a crucial swing state in the presidential election, Pennsylvania's Amish, who avoid many modern conveniences and embrace simple living. A super PAC with an allegiance to Donald Trump has been courting Amish voters. The Economist magazine's Rosemary Ward was recently in Amish country near Lancaster. Rosemary, good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Amish Americans often shun voting, some, not all. As a matter of faith and tradition, they don't seek public office as well. But what's this about Donald Trump's organization trying to get Amish people to vote for Donald?
Well, to be fair, it's not the Donald Trump organization. It's a super PAC founded by some Ben Carson fans who needed a new hero. And they looked to Trump. And they both had roots, the two original founders both had roots in the Amish community.
So you went to near Intercourse, Pennsylvania, and there was this big vote for Trump billboard or a pro-Trump billboard?
That's right. It's a bit jarring because you're driving along this beautiful pastoral village, and just past it, on the left, there's this huge sign that says, don't forget to vote, essentially, for Trump. And on one side, there's a buggy, and on the other side, it explains why Trump should appeal to the Amish.
Now, traditionally, many Amish who do vote have tended to side with Republicans, but Donald Trump is their man.
Yeah, going back almost a century, they've been a big fan of the Republican. In fact, the only Democrat I could find that they liked was William Jennings Bryan back in 1896, because he was very pro-farming. So for over a century, they've been fans of Republicans. Yet Trump isn't the typical Republican, as we all know, but he is pro-small government, which they like. He's for fewer taxes, which they also like. And he says he will help the farmers when he's elected.
Now, dare I raise this, but divorce and bankruptcy are punished in the Amish community. Still, there are these other areas where maybe his platform resonates, as you say.
It's not clear how much they know about the Trump that we know, because they don't have access to television or the internet. Democrats are just as alien to them as a twice divorced, several times bankrupt politician.
But of course, Amish people do read newspapers.
They do. But I think most of what we see of Trump, we see on social media, which they do not have access to.
And there was a pro-Trump rally in the area, and some Amish people were spotted there.
There was more than a few. I'd say there were several dozen there, which was a bit surreal to see some straw hats among the crowd. And for most of them, it was the first time they had ever heard his voice. I saw some teenagers afterwards who had never heard a New York accent before, which was pretty funny.
Rosemary Ward reports for The Economist magazine. Rosemary, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Recently, an anti-Trump ad has appeared in newspapers in Amish country that raised questions about the candidate's family values, his tough talk on torture, while mentioning some failed Donald Trump ventures, including casinos and Trump vodka. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Christopher Olin, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Jake Gorski. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.